Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday, the 16th of July. That's the 15th Sunday in ordinary time. Welcome to you wherever you are in many different parts of the world and wherever you are listening. So you might be exercising or working or walking or driving or trying to go to sleep or in whatever situation you're listening, you are welcome. Our aim here is to begin a conversation that we may become more deeply aware of the presence of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, with us in every moment of every day and night. Who do we have in this conversation this morning?
Yora, magandang araw. I'm Maya Bernardo. I'm the formator and manager of the Tehau Nui launch out of the Archdiocese of Wellington.
Amore na tato. I'm Kath Petrie. I live in Auckland in Devonport, and I work for the parish of St. Francis and All Souls.
Kia ora, Rory Patterson is my name, and I'm an RE advisor for the Diocese of Christchurch.
Let's begin in prayer. And again, to emphasize that when we pray, we're not trying to twist the arm of God, but rather that we might relax into the relationship that is God with us in whatever circumstances we and those we love find ourselves. And we pray in the entrance antiphon for this 15th Sunday in ordinary time. As for me, in justice I shall behold your face. I shall be filled with the vision of your glory. As for me, in justice I shall behold your face. I shall be filled with the vision of your glory. Amen.
Amen.
It's turn to start.
It's all about gardening. and weather, gardening and weather. And I think the readings are particularly relevant when we think about the fruitfulness of the earth in the light of the dreadful weather that we've been having that's washed away gardens and orchards and seeds and livelihoods all over New Zealand. So we can never take anything for granted, except for the love of God.
Amen.
I was also touched by the imagery that comes through the first and the first reading in the psalm in particular. Those I've written down agrarian. Kath said gardening and weather, but they're sort of the same thing really, aren't they? There are some beautiful, beautiful images coming through in that first reading and the psalm about, you know, the watercourses being filled. Where I live in North Canterbury, this time of year we're all good, but in summer we can get pretty dry, so that's a concern. You know, breaking up the clods. I have a few clods to break up in my mind, if nowhere else. But beautiful, beautiful images coming through.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I just butt in again? That's the that poetic message of the prophet consoling the people of Israel at the time when they're in exile in Babylon, putting up with some pretty harsh conditions. Those lovely images must be a consolation.
For me, everyone mentioned gardening, and I think that the idea of the three S's there, I could see the seed, the sower, and the soil. So these are good themes, and they cut across all the readings from the first, the psalm, and the gospel, and the second reading. So the seed there is God's word, or we could say God's love. And then the sower, which I would kind of elaborate a bit later on. And then the soil, which is our own lives. Now, what really struck me there is the sower. And as I was listening to you mention gardening, I really think God is the sower, he's kind of bad gardener. Like you usually prepare the soil before you plant the seed. But the way I imagine it, he throws the seeds like a confetti. And what comes across to me is the generosity of God. God gives every soil a chance. And the seed is not fragile. It is actually potent. And if we refer to the first reading, the word of God does not return until it has done its purpose. So God gives everyone a lavish chance to feel God's love or to get to engage with the word in different forms and opportunities. And the rest I could kind of inject during the conversation.
I like the way you mentioned the three S's there, Maya, the seed and the sower and the soil. And many homilies that I've heard over the years have very helpfully focused on the soil. I've always been a bit of a gardener, not particularly successful, and I've always tried to not only grow plants in a so-called flower garden, but vegetables, because I like the idea of growing what I eat. But I always get frustrated because the birds come and eat the plants and the seedlings, and then I move on before the spinach and the cabbage harvest. But in the last few months, I decided to get some really good soil, and I bought the soil veggie mix and planted the veggies into the veggie mix and looked after them. And for so long, the progress was slow, but I noticed that the soil made all the difference. This is the most successful garden I've ever had. And the first part is hard, like nurturing it. And you go out there and the cabbage is only, two or three centimeters high, or the spinach is only 4 or 5 centimeters high. You can't do anything with it yet. But there reaches a tipping point when all of a sudden there's an abundance. And now, even at this time of the year, I go out and I'm still harvesting every night what I eat, the lettuces, the last of the lettuces, and the spinach especially. But the abundance is all of a sudden there. It took a bit of patience to wait for it. So I like the idea of focusing on the soil. But it does, the people who in homilies reflect on the importance of the soil often, I think, go a bit far on, it's up to us, what kind of soil are we? But in fact, the soil makes a difference to the harvest, but there's something else going on that all of a sudden means that even that this little chip of wood that we call a seed will sprout if it's nurtured and will become green and then will become abundant. But that's not our doing. And I think that's a really helpful thing to focus, because there's too much burden and weight on people to go and try and be better people and make sure that we're better soil. I think it's just sounds like a lot of hard work. And faith is much more of a relationship than it is hard work.
Yeah, we often overlook the sower. And if we look at the gospel, isn't it that Jesus was using parables and people are asked, why do you use parables? And if we actually look at Jesus' time, agriculture is the main source of economy. So Jesus uses parable because the use of the sower or the garden or the seed is a compelling image for the people during his time. And what I get from that is actually the sower meets us halfway. Jesus meets us halfway. And as you were saying, John, yes, we have the onus. There's a great onus for us to make us a better soil, but how far could we really go in doing that? How do we know we're a good soil? And I think for me in this gospel, it draws me to the sower, to the ability of the gardener to enrich that soil, and to the potency of that seed to persistently dig its way down into my stubborn soil, into my rocky ground, or into there's some seeds that grow on rocky ground anyway. And even if the birds eat them, in my country, some birds could, a lot of seeds get, planted by birds' poop. Any other way, that seed is gonna reach you.
So Maya, just I'm interested if Jesus was using the example of the agrarian examples, the gardening examples, because so many people were of the land back then, what image do you think Jesus would use today in our society when fewer people keep gardens?
Oh, a
It's
text
interesting. This is
message.
for anyone. I'm really curious about, well,
Yeah, what is a seed? Does he use the metaphor of the seed? You could say a text message, a post, because everything goes viral.
Yeah.
Bound to have something to do with electric vehicles or something like that. I don't know.
Or virus. Oh, gosh. Oh, it's all also.
I think that there is a difficulty in trying to allocate specific roles to the seed, the soil, the sower. I mean, you could see Jesus as the sower, but in the first reading, it's God, the creator God, who's speaking, who talks about the word of his mouth like a seed. So Jesus is also the seed, because Jesus is the word. And in terms of us being the soil, we're never just one kind of soil. And then at different stages of our lives, we are the completely impermeable soil, like the path, the rocky, choked with weed soil, you know. So it's a combination of all the factors that we have to take into consideration, rather than saying this X means Y and Y means Z and so on. That's not what a parable, it's the whole of the picture that we need to be looking at.
I really like how you describe the soil as us. You know, we're complex. We're not just one good soil. There are bits, parts of us that are covered in thorns, parts of us that have rocks. And it kind of reminds me of a time when I did an interview with a sex worker in Manila. And in that interview, she said, you know, I read the Bible every day and I beg for God's mercy, that despite the work I do, that he would consider me in heaven when my time has come. Because it was a shelter. When they're sick, they go to the shelter, and that's where I did my interview. And she was begging mercy that God would look after her children despite of her work. And that really struck me in a profound way, because in that moment I sense holiness. It's someone who we would have judged as unfit, unholy. And yet I remember having a conversation with people who ticks all the boxes of definitely going to heaven, and probably including myself, who wouldn't have a bar of her faith and her humility. So that's the word sipping in a good soil. And yeah, so we're complex. There are parts of us that are ready, parts of us which are not. The sower knows that. A good gardener knows that. And that seed is not fragile. That seed is persistent. And it's not just one seed. That seed is a lot. You know, God, in my vision, it's Jesus throwing all the seeds like a confetti. Because in the words of the gospel, they say he scatters, like he just throws them out.
I'm going to do a bit of a shift here. I want to look at the Romans reading, because I have a great memory. One of our theology professors when I was in the seminary was a great New Zealand priest, a diocesan priest of the Diocese of Hamilton. His name was Jerry Fitzgerald, and tragically, Jerry died far too young, in his 40s, 35 or something years ago now. But Jerry, you had a great sense of humor and didn't take himself too seriously. I remember him saying to us before exams, I think that the sufferings of this life are nothing compared to the glory that is to be revealed. So when we were stressed and worried about exams, I think that the sufferings of this life are nothing when compared to the glory that is to be revealed. And I think that's a helpful place for us to focus, because very often our prayer and everything is about the sufferings of this life or the situations of this life. But if we focus on the glory that not just will be revealed, so it's not talking about that will be revealed in heaven, but the glory that actually is being revealed in the present moment for those who have the desire or the eyes to see the glory being revealed. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful message of hope for so many who might be struggling at the moment. Hope is being revealed. The glory is being revealed in the present.
I think, Kat.
No, go on, Rory.
I was just going to say, when looking at the gospel, that that challenge, if you like, to be aware or to be open to those present glories that we can see, that are part of, that are around us, that is a massive challenge. And I think it, Jesus points to it where he talks about the line, to anyone who has, more will be given and he will grow rich. It seems to me that that's the soil becoming rich. It's that growing and understanding, not growing rich in the sense of material possessions and so on, but growing rich in terms of understanding. What are the glories that I can see? What is God's plan for me in my life? And when you have that understanding, a link back to the first reading where talking about that God's word is bread to the one who eats, you know, that hunger that we have for what does God want for me? And listening, being open to God's word in the scriptures allows us to grow in that understanding of what is God's plan for me.
And it is so important to not lose sight of the glories that are around us, even in the most dire of circumstances, because if we have been the good soil for a while at some time of our lives, there's the potential for us to become seeds. And we can only continue to sow what's described later in the gospel as the word of the kingdom. So it's about us taking up the mission. And we can only do that if we find encouragement, if we keep looking for those signs of encouragement. And alongside that, what I've got thinking about with these readings, particularly the mention of the evil one, the evil one who comes and takes the seed away before it has a chance to even permeate into the soil. Because the notion of the devil or Satan is something that I find hard to come to terms with. I think human beings are capable of enough evil in themselves without any hope. And then I remembered the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, where you've got Screwtape trying to mentor this young devil, Wormwood. And he says, and I've written it down, he said, we people, it's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. So it's, you know, those, if something is stopping us from seeing those signs of glory and signs of hope, we'll never be effective seeds.
Kath, it's wonderful to hear you mention the Screwtape Letters. When did you first discover them? Like, were
as
you
an adolescent?
Because I'm thinking, if I were teaching RE, or if I were teaching adolescents, even in First Communion for confirmation programs, I'd use the Screwtape Letters. I think there's so much humor there. Lewis has a wonderful sense of humor, but the subtleties and of the method of the evil spirit, and the ways that, exactly as you explain it, Kath, I think the Screwtape Letters are just a great example.
And they also say the best instrument they've ever had is persuading people that the evil spirit doesn't exist.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I love to think, I understand the point you started with there, Kath, that it's very hard. We don't hear a lot about the evil spirit or Satan or the devil as much now, certainly not in homilies, but it can shift an understanding, an appreciation of the existence of the evil spirit. helps us to be free of the burden. If we are the cause of all of our own evil, what a huge responsibility. But if there is a subtle force at work on us and in us, we don't have to take all of the responsibility for this evil that we see welling up in us. There's something else going on. I found that a great freedom. In the same way, I can't take all the credit for all the good in me, because sometimes the power of the Spirit of God manages to work through me despite my resistance and opposition. But in the same way, the evil spirit is at work. I find that very helpful.
The other phrase that that came to me when I was reading this is a phrase that's often used in feminist literature about leaning in, you know, leaning in to the cause, leaning into the support of other people. And it seemed to me that God is always leaning in. We in the gospel, Jesus is saying, the people who have grown dull and their ears hard of hearing, they've shut their eyes so they might not look or listen and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.
Yeah.
You know, even if they are hard-hearted. And it goes back to what Maya was saying earlier about this lavish and indiscriminate love of God that is scattered for everyone.
If you were preaching to a congregation that you know, what would you want to be a take home for them? What would you hope they would go home remembering or encouraged by?
For me, I would send them away with a challenge to be open to faith, to have eyes that see and ears that hear, to listen to the word of God, discern what it means for you, so that you can grow an understanding of God's plan in your life. And if you can do all that in 7 days before next Sunday, well done.
I would add to that the focus on the sower that will not give up, that who is lavish, extremely generous, who will meet us where we are, and who wouldn't give up on us.
I think I would focus on the fact that we have the potential to become the seeds for others. So with a question, what is it that I will do this week that leaves me more open to the word of God so that I can be a seed of the mission? Because we do focus on the negative, don't we? You know,
yeah.
Where are my thorns? Where are my weeds?
Yeah. And we're so zealous in wanting to improve ourselves and to live this life more fully. And I think in hearing that today, I think it's probably just the way I'm feeling today. I feel exhausted even hearing about the sower and the seed and the harvest. It's just sounding exhausting. And I was thinking of your S words, Maya, from a little earlier, you know, the sower and the seed and the soil. But there's another S word that's very attractive for me, and it's the sun. Like without the sun, even if the soil is good and the sower is perfect and the seed is well bred, nothing happens without the sun. And I remember a friend of mine that used to said once, "Oh, I'm going off sunbathing." I said, "I thought you were going to pray." He said, "That's exactly what I mean." His image of prayer for this time was simply sitting in the sun. Not that he literally did that, but he was aware that when you're sunbathing, what are you doing? Well, you don't do anything. It's the sun that's doing it all. So I think I'd probably like to add another S. I'm just aware of so many people, and someone mentioned it on the Homily Studio a week or two ago. There are so many people who are struggling and suffering, and some people not so much with their own struggle and suffering, but with the constant concern for those they love who are struggling and suffering, which is even a harder burden. Well, to simply be aware that the sun is shining on us, you know, in all kinds of ways. Like, without the sun, nothing happens, even if the sower and the seed and the soil are perfect. So I wonder where that came from. Is it just because I'm a bit tired today?
It comes from another S, the spirit.
Oh, more S's. Yeah. We bring all of these thoughts and all of these reflections to the prayer, knowing that the word of God is not simply the text on a page, but the presence and the activity of the word of God, Jesus, God with us. And so we pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good day, everyone.
I can't even find how to stop it.